this story of Jesus healing the leper should be quite familiar to us. We just heard it a few days ago, last Friday, in fact. Last Friday we heard St. Luke's version of this event. Today we hear from St. Mark's version. They're fundamentally the same. It's certainly the same event, the same leper, the same miraculous cure. What's at the center of it is Jesus touching a leper and healing him. But there are some differences between the two passages, and if you want to take a more academic approach, you could put the two side by side and see the differences in the details. In Anuim, we tend to favor the liturgical approach to see why this passage was chosen for the end of the Christmas season, and think about why it's chosen for the beginning of ordinary time. If you want to make it even richer, you can think of what I said yesterday. This gospel is the same gospel which will be read on the sixth Sunday of ordinary time, which is the Sunday right before Ash Wednesday this year. So this gospel also is a kind of introduction into the Lenten journey. That will be 6 weeks, 5 weeks from now. Okay, let's think a little bit about the differences between the two accounts and the differences between the two places in the liturgical year. Last week we were in Christmas, we were in the Epiphany time, we were reflecting on God manifesting himself, revealing his presence among us, the Word made flesh. And so the passage about Jesus healing the leper was seen as a fulfillment of the prophecies that the Messiah, when he comes, will heal. It was an opportunity to reflect on the impact of the coming of the Messiah on the corrupted people of God, that we're all lepers because of sin. In Luke's version, which we heard last week, the man wasn't simply described as a leper, he was described as being full of leprosy. It was a completely hopeless case. And the arrival of the Word made flesh brings hope into a hopeless world. Well, that's a Christmas message. Now, it's not different, completely different than what we want in ordinary time, but now we are in the week right after Jesus' baptism, and after the baptism, Jesus goes forth. He starts his public ministry, and this is what we've been reflecting on all week. Jesus going around, gathering disciples, driving out demons, proclaiming the gospel, going from village to village. And this healing of a leper fits into that sweep of extraordinary newness, Jesus proclaiming the kingdom of God. In the new kingdom, corruption is wiped out. Sin is wiped out. Freedom is proclaimed. One of the striking differences between Luke's version and Mark's version is the strength of Jesus' warning in Mark's version, today's version. Jesus very sternly tells the man not to tell anyone. Last week, he told him not to tell anyone, but it wasn't emphasized. In this version, he warns him sternly and dismisses him, and he says, don't tell anyone except the priest. And the man does exactly the opposite of what he's told. He goes away. It doesn't say that he went to the priest. Maybe he did, but it doesn't say that he obeyed in any sense what Jesus told him to do. He went away and began to publicize the whole matter. He spread the report abroad so that it was impossible for Jesus to enter a town openly. So this is not what we heard last week. This gives us something to ponder a bit. Well, one of the mysterious things is what the scholars call the messianic secret. Especially in Mark's gospel, Jesus very often tells people not to tell anyone. Keep it a secret. Keep it a secret that the Messiah has come. the reasons for that usually are understood to be the people's expectation of what the Messiah would be like were not exactly accurate. And so he didn't want that kind of baggage. He wanted to present the truth about himself instead of having people put on him what they thought the Messiah should be. There's something of that at work here, certainly. Maybe we can understand this by taking a modern perspective. You know that in our times, especially in the last 10 years or so, the way that news spreads is through social media. And it's very difficult to get a true message truly disseminated. There's this proliferation of fake news, of questionable sources, and of distortion of the truth. So something might be announced in a true way, but then it gets picked up and spread around in a distorted way, and then eventually you don't even know what part of the story is true and what's not true. So since we have this experience now, and this happens almost instantaneously, something happens. Oh, okay, someone dies. Well, that's the truth, that's the simple fact. Well, then someone says, he died because of this, he died because of that, he belonged to this organization, or he belonged to that, or his death is immediately put into a context which you don't know if it's true or not, and then all sorts of voices come in and give their opinions about the man who died and why he died. All of a sudden you have no idea. Is he even a real person? Did he die? Well, now we don't know anything. Before, at least we knew there was a man and he died. Now we don't even know anything. So that's our experience now. Maybe not even in 10 years, the last 5 years, it's been multiplied, this proliferation of questionable information. Okay, that's how we experience it. So we can, I think, understand why Jesus would say, now he's not living in the social media age, but this human tendency is with us all the time. He doesn't want the news of his arrival to get spread in a distorted way or at the wrong time, in the wrong place, to the wrong people, with the wrong context and nuance. He doesn't want that. He'd rather make himself known by his ministry and by his teaching, especially in this early stage. Remember, this is just at the very beginning of his public ministry. He would prefer to be able to do personal ministry, like the healing of Simon's mother-in-law. He'd like to be able to work in kind of under the radar and proclaim the kingdom of God, call people to repentance, at least for now. Now he knows, Jesus knows very well that in time he's going to make a big public display of himself. The most obvious case is on Palm Sunday. He's going to march into Jerusalem to the acclaim of his followers and make it known that he's here, the king has arrived. But at the beginning, no, he doesn't want to do that. This man whom he cures messes up the plan. Now, the word spreads everywhere. The report has been spread abroad. And now it's impossible for Jesus to enter a town openly. It's not that the man said anything wrong. It's not that he deliberately distorted the message. I mean, he probably said, Jesus cured me of leprosy, which was true. But what that meant for the people and what it meant at that time, who knows? So the messenger in some way interfered with the message. This is what I'd like to reflect on a little bit, because the only way we who are baptized Christians, who are missionary disciples, the only way we can be faithful to the message is if we are faithful messengers. We don't get in the way. And the only way to do that is obedience. Obedience to God. Even when it seems like God is telling us to do something that goes against common sense or against what would be the best way to do things. Certainly this man who was cured was, he couldn't contain himself. He wanted everyone to know. We can understand that, and we're not even judging him. But objectively speaking, what he did made it worse. We don't know how God's plan will unfold, so the only safe path is to obey. There are times when Jesus does send people or expect people to make known the message. Remember the Samaritan woman. The Samaritan woman, she wasn't cured, but she met the Messiah. She met the one who everyone was waiting for. And when she realized it, she ran into the town and told everybody. And they came. It had good effect. They came and they found Jesus themselves. And they said, now our faith doesn't rest only on your testimony. We know it for ourselves. So that was a good one. What about the case of the man who was possessed by a legion? He wanted to follow Jesus, and Jesus said, no, go back to your people and tell them. So some people are called to follow, some people are sent out to proclaim, some people are told to be silent. We don't know unless we listen and obey. This man didn't listen, and he didn't obey. The messenger interfered with the message. So listening comes first. I was thinking this man, the leper, perhaps Jesus was hoping that after the man went to the priest, offered the prescribed sacrifice, got sufficient proof of his cleanliness, perhaps Jesus was expecting him to come back and be one of his followers. But the man didn't come back, and he didn't become a follower. He became a self-proclaimed evangelist. He wasn't sent out to proclaim. He did it on his own. Perhaps if he had followed Jesus for a while and gotten some formation, if he had learned to listen and to obey, perhaps he would have been a very effective evangelist. But as it is, we don't know what happened to him. Simple message for us is welcome Jesus, welcome his healing power, welcome the gift of being made clean. This is the gift we received in baptism. It's still the week of the baptism. Welcome that, but then listen to what God wants you to do. And when you know what he wants you to do, do that. Don't do what you think is good. If you get a good idea, submit that to God. Discern whether that idea comes from God or from yourself. This takes time, it takes effort, it takes the community, it takes the support of one another. Listening is not an easy process in a noisy world, and we have a noisy nature. But without listening, we can't be obedient, and without obedience, we can't be fruitful evangelists. So, as we march into this first week of Ordinary Time, as we go forth in the power of the Spirit, the power we receive in baptism, let us continue to listen and obey.